Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we're going to continue our series of lessons about the church. And I'm talking about the church that you read about in the Bible, not just any church. We're talking about that church that belongs to Christ, the one that he established, the one of which he is the head, and the one that he died to purchase. But we're talking about various distinguishing marks of the church that makes it different from a lot of the religious bodies that are round about, because the Lord's church is different from those that men have devised and organized. And we closed our last lesson talking about how the church is to worship. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. And like the early church, the church assembles on the first day of the week for these items of worship. And the things that we must do in order to worship God pleasingly is to do what he has authorized. And he's authorized that we pray unto him, and we authorize that we sing praises unto him. And the music that is authorized in the New Testament for the church of Christ is that we sing. And so when we sing, we're doing what the Bible says. When we play instruments of music or have other special music that excludes other people, why, that's not according to the New Testament. Now also in worship to God, the church eats the Lord's Supper, and they do that every first day of the week, because that's what was done in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The supper was observed in the assembly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that assembly was on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You see, the Lord's Supper is a memorial to Christ, with unleavened bread that's symbolic of the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine symbolic of his shed blood. The Bible does not teach that these physical ingredients become the literal and actual body and blood of Christ. These are emblems that are symbolic of the body and blood of Christ, and we worship him by partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And we worship by giving of our gifts unto God. Solomon taught that we honor God with our substance. And we learn from the Apostle Paul about the grace of giving. It is to be planned. It is to be purposed. It is to be from the heart. It's really on an honor system. There's no specified percentage that one must give. But our giving is motivated by love, and it is as we have been prospered, we're to give liberally and cheerfully. You know the word give, that's one of the best single word commentaries on the religion of Christ that we can consider. After all, God gave, and Christ gave, and should not Christians give? Indeed, we do, as did the early Christians. And when the disciples meet for worship, they study the Word of God. Friend, we honor and respect God when we worship God by proclaiming His Word and teaching His Word. We feed upon that Word, and that's the way we grow in Christ. Now, Christ taught that our worship is to be in spirit and truth. This includes the correct attitude, reverence, understanding from the heart. To worship in truth means to worship as truth directs, and God's word is the truth, John 17:17. So to learn how to worship, we turn to the Word of God. Now, New Testament Christians did not worship with candles and organs and tithing and bingo and carnivals and pie suppers. They didn't burn incense and count beads and on what people do today. Nothing like that was incorporated into God's teaching on worship in this age when God speaks to man through Christ. Now, the church is most often identified by name in the New Testament as simply the church. The Bible teaches there is but one. Christ only established one. The phrase Church of God, or the plural phrase Churches of Christ, they simply show possession, they show ownership, they're not titles. The church belongs to God. The church belongs to Christ. The number of terms are used to present the church and its various sides, such as the body, a kingdom, a vineyard, a temple, a house, or family of God. But names matter to God. Now, they don't matter, sometimes people say, to them, but that is not true. Names matter to everybody. It's just when it comes to religion that people say, well, the name doesn't matter. To dismiss the name, the need to use the correct terms regarding the church, why there's nothing in a name, sometimes people say, that shows a contempt and a disrespect for the Lord's attitude toward names. Even the members of the church have been given a name. The prophet Isaiah foretold of the time when God would call his people by a new name, indicating that such a time would be when both Jew and Gentile were included in the family of God. Isaiah 62 and verse 2. Sometimes people say the name Christian is a nickname given by enemies. Why, friend, that's not so. The name Christian was given by the Lord. The disciples were first called Christians by that new name, and that name was Christian. Acts 11 and verse 26. The word called, that simply shows what deity has done. And this glorious and worthy name was enjoyed by the Christians. It was approved by the apostles, and so much so that Peter said that suffering as a Christian was not something for which to be ashamed. 1 Peter 4, 14 and 16. Yes, there are other terms that indicate God's people. They're saints, they're brethren. They're a royal priesthood, they're disciples, they're the children of God. Now, why would anybody want, or anybody be content, to be called religiously by some name that's not even found in the pages of God's book? The denominational names of which are so prevalent in our world today, they only contribute to division. They separate one from the other. It creates confusion and error. People talk about this kind of Christian and that kind of Christian. Well, you don't read about that kind of thing going on in the New Testament. And the church has a mission to perform. That mission is really threefold in nature. We must preach the Word of God, evangelize the world, Mark chapter 16. And this is a primary task of the church. The church, after all, is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The church doesn't make truth. No, the church doesn't alter truth. It doesn't have to update truth. It's to support and proclaim the truth, and in doing that, we honor God. Any church that does not emphasize the proclamation of the Word of God is derelict in its number one responsibility. And furthermore, the church is to edify and build itself up, helping each other to grow, being strengthened as we are commanded to do. There is also a benevolent phase of the work that the church is to do. It is not the work of the church, friend, to provide recreation and fun and games and entertainment and secular education and to build so-called family life centers and all of that. Some are more concerned over softball teams than they are preaching the gospel. It's because some have decided that getting crowds is the primary mission of the church. That's not the mission of the church. The church is to preach the gospel. The church is to build itself up spiritually primarily and numerically if possible. And the church is to engage in benevolent and helpful deeds to those who are needed. And Christ also gave his disciples a standard of purity that is to be followed in life. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 9. We're to keep our affection on things above, Colossians 3 and verse 2. We're to follow in the Master's footsteps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. We're to be zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. And we're to be ever living in faithfulness in this work and worship, 1 Corinthians 15:58. There are those things that we're expected to do, and there are those things which, from which we are to abstain, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and to learn to abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good, Romans 12 and verse 9. We must separate ourselves from the sins of this world, Romans 6, 1 and 2, doing good deeds of kindness and helpfulness to others, James 4 and verse 17. But the terms of entrance are important. How does one become a member of the Lord's church? The terms of entrance are marks of identification of the church. You see, one does not join the church like he might join some club or some fraternal order. He's not left to decide what he would like to do to become a member of the church, nor can he adopt whatever human doctrines have decreed. He either comes to the Lord's church the way that God directs, or he doesn't come at all. And briefly stated, one becomes a member of the church the same way that he's saved from his past sins. God adds people to the church when they have heard the word, believed the word, repented of their sins, confessed their faith in Christ, are buried with the Lord in baptism. On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached, people believed it, they obeyed it, and God added them to the church. That's the way people became members of the Bible church. That's the way people become members of the Bible church now. And this is what those of us of the Church of Christ preach and teach. This is God's pattern, and it must be followed in every case of conversion, because in every case of conversion in the New Testament, this is what people did. We don't read about anybody telling of their experience. We don't read about anybody being voted in or voted out. You don't become a member of the church the same way that you might join some human denomination. Dear friend, the Church of the Lord, it does exist, and people can and do belong to the church. When people today hear the same message that those of the first century heard, when they believe and obey, like those people did then, they will be what those people were. What were they? Why, they were Christians. They were members of the Lord's church. They composed the body of the saved. They're the ones who worshiped according to the teachings of God. They're the ones that have the promise that God will receive them when Christ comes again. Nobody has a right to ask anything more of a person than what the Bible requires. But friend, listen to me. Nobody does have the right to lead people to think that they can receive the blessing of God when they ignore what the Bible teaches one must do. What are the distinguishing marks of the church? These are people who have respected the blood of Jesus Christ, who have had the blood of Christ applied to their sin-stained souls, being baptized to wash away their sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. That's where we reach the blood of Christ, Colossians chapter 2. This is an operation of God. No, we're not earning or meriting our salvation. No man can do that. We obey the gospel. God adds us to his church. We want you, and we want all people, to be interested in the church that you read about in the Bible. That's the one Jesus died for. That's the one we want to be a part of. And it is in that church that we have our hope of eternal life with God. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.